I'm Susan Berkus in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
HSBC posting a slump in annual profits on Tuesday, falling well short of analysts' estimates. Pre-tax profits dropping 62% to $7.1 billion in 2016. Europe's biggest bank by assets blaming one-off charges in its global private banking business in Europe and the impact of the sale of operations in Brazil.
Restaurant Brands International, the owner of Burger King, announcing it will acquire Popeyes. The price tag, $1.8 billion, that's $79 a share. It's a big move to the upside, more than 16% there.
Walmart made $485 billion last year. It's the most of any U.S. company. Because Target had the disappointing holiday sales, so the mood going into Walmart wasn't that great. Where are they in the shift to e-commerce?
I think that's the most important thing coming out of this quarter, is that this purchase of Jet has turned out to be so far so good and fast. I mean, showing results pretty quickly.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's February 22nd, 2017, 5:10 in the morning. Glad to have you along for another edition of The Opening Bell, another business day. Lots going on today. A little later in the program, we'll talk about how there's a migration of people out of Illinois to a number of different states. We'll get the perspective from Missouri in our second segment this morning. Coming up, we're going to be talking a little bit about Dolby Sound and the Academy Awards. But first, let's hit the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are looking negative as we head toward the opening bell at 8:30 Chicago time, off about 9 points now at 20,679. S&P and NASDAQ futures are lower as well. Crude oil is up almost a full percent today, $54 a barrel. One analyst yesterday saying $70 a barrel oil is not out of the question, perhaps, by the end of the year. In Europe, markets are generally higher, with the FTSE, DAX, and CAC all in positive territory. And in Asia, generally, the markets are higher as well. Global stocks hit record highs, as a matter of fact, this morning, pushing gains for the year above all of those above 2016. The dollar rose before the Federal Reserve minutes come out later today. We'll scour those for clues about the timing of the next U.S. interest rate. European shares followed Asian bounces higher, buoyed by all the main indices on Wall Street, touching record highs yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed almost 118 points, or a half a percent. The Standard & Poor's was up almost a half a percent as well. The NASDAQ, too, up almost a half a percent, climbing about 27 points. Again, the day's most anticipated event for the markets will be release of the minutes of the Fed's last policy meeting. Those will come in later on this afternoon. One other story happening probably while you slept or as you went to bed last night, a trade association representing General Motors, Toyota, and Volkswagen, and nine other automakers have asked the new Environmental Protection Agency chief, Scott Pruitt, to withdraw an Obama administration decision locking in vehicle emission rules through 2025. The EPA administrator back on January 13, Gina McCarthy, finalized a determination that a landmark fuel efficiency rule instituted by President Obama should be finalized by 2025. That's a bid to maintain a key part of the administration's climate legacy, but now there is a little bit of balking at that. Automakers have argued that the rules could result in the loss of up to 1 million jobs because consumers could be less willing to buy the more fuel-efficient vehicles since their engineering will result in some higher price tags. One of the other stories we're watching closely, too, is this story involving some of the biggest CEOs in Illinois, including those from Boeing and Caterpillar. They have signed on to a letter urging lawmakers to overhaul the corporate tax code and embrace a controversial proposal that would reduce the cost of exports but penalize imports. Two of the signatures on the letter are Dennis Muhlenberg of Boeing and Jim Umpleby of Caterpillar. This proposal would make things a little similar to the value-added tax in Europe. And one of the people who's watching this closely is the co-chair of a consumer group and tax watchdog group out of Indiana, the former governor of Indiana, Mitch Daniels. On CNBC yesterday, talks about this plan and how it could be not so good.
You know, we've been driving this economy with a parking brake on for several years, and let's just hope that the Congress and this administration liberate it and encourage it. And Over the long term, of course, you really want that to have a very positive effect on the debt burden we're about to dump on our children.
Daniels is concerned singularly about that, the debt problem in the country. He doesn't want any plan that would push the debt any further above where it is right now. How many times have you been to the theater and you've heard this noise? It's not really a noise. It's a wonderful sound, and it indicates that Dolby is included in the movie. And this year at the Oscars, this year at the theater, in the past year, there are 12 Academy Award-nominated titles that feature groundbreaking Dolby technology. So we wanted to bring in Bob Borchers, who is the CMO, the Chief Marketing Officer of Dolby Sound. He is with us this morning. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I shouldn't have called that a sound. I know that might be a noise that's probably an insult to you, and I apologize. It's a wonderful sound because when you're sitting in the theater and you hear that, you're just like, oh, boy, here we go. Talk about the advances that we've made in sound technology.
Yeah. No, for us, it is a symphony for our ears, so we appreciate people recognizing it. The advances that we've seen in sound over the last, 30 years in the cinema and the home and everywhere are really amazing. You know, it's gone from having just sound coming out of a particular speaker and channel. Now it's all around us, and it's, almost a 3D immersive effect. And so when we think about what we're doing in the cinema, we think about how we can bring you into the story with both sound and actually image. So we're today doing for the eyes what we've historically also done for the ears. So for us, the cinema, the Academy Awards, this is our time of year.
Because it is more than just sound. It's this imaging technology, I guess, is the best way to describe it. Give us an example of what that might be.
Yeah, so Dolby Vision is our imaging technology, which is both in the cinema as well as in the TVs that are coming into your living room today. And what it is it's called high dynamic range, which really means that it's additional brightness, it's additional color. It provides kind of a clarity and a degree of just kind of immersion that we haven't had before. So with Dolby Vision, for example, you can see colors that you've never been able to see, whether it's the red of a London bus or the blue of a sky. We're actually able to recreate those colors as you would see them in nature. And so for us, at the end of the day, what we're trying to do with both audio and imaging is just to make the experience as realistic as it possibly can be, whether it's in the cinema or in the palm of your hand or in your home.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Traders came back from a three-day weekend to set a new batch of records on Tuesday. The Dow Jones closed up 119 points at 20,743. The S&P 500 picked up 14 points. The Nasdaq Composite rose more than 27. Walmart says it's gaining ground on Amazon. The country's largest retailer saw its e-commerce sales soar 29% in the fourth quarter. Meanwhile, Macy's, the nation's largest department store chain, reported that holiday earnings dropped nearly 13%. Yahoo hopes to salvage its deal with Verizon by offering a $350 million discount. The original selling price was $4.8 billion, but that was before two separate security breaches that exposed the personal information of more than a billion Yahoo users. And United and American Airlines are now offering cheaper basic economy fares on some flights as a way to compete with the discount carriers. The cheaper fares come with severe restrictions. Passengers cannot pre-select their seats, and they'll be the last to board the plane. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 521. The 89th Annual Academy Awards is Sunday night at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood, California. This morning, we're very happy to have Bob Borchers with us. He's the Chief Marketing Officer at Dolby Sound. And Bob, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the movies that we've seen this year, but the Academy Awards presentation itself from the Dolby Theater promises to be quite an event. Tell us about what you have planned.
Yeah, so at the Dolby Theater, which is the home to the Academy Awards, we have just a spectacular experience both within the room itself, which of course is a closely held secret every year, but then we have incredible production capabilities to then take that amazing sound and image and bring it into everybody's living room. So we're expecting somewhere around 1.2 billion viewers around the world for the Academy Awards. this year, and we think it's going to be a great show. I mean, I think when you look at the movies that have been nominated and just the stories that are being told, it should be a phenomenal celebration of the movie industry.
And so the way I understand the Dolby Theater is set up, and you wouldn't expect anything less, is that it has the capability to have all of this wonderful sound, probably more than our local theaters do. And so this is going to translate there live and then at home as well.
That's right. So within the theater, we've got the ability to showcase all of our technologies, both on the imaging side as well as the sound side. But the thing I'd say is actually in your local area, you have a number of Dolby Cinemas locations that, in fact, combine all of that great technology that we have in the Dolby Theater and more. So if you go to one of the Dolby Cinema at AMC locations in the greater Chicago area, you can go experience, frankly, all of that amazing technology and these great stories that are being told, just like you'd see it in the Dolby Theater.
Bob, we don't want to make you play favorites here, but is there one movie from the past year that stands out in your mind as being one of the best in terms of imaging and sound? I have to tell you, Deepwater Horizon was just an amazing experience. Just the different things happening in that movie, and if you have Dolby at home, it was just awesome. Do you have a favorite?
Oh, yeah. Deepwater Horizon is a great one from, you know, being nominated for sound editing and visual effects. And if you saw that movie, if you heard it, you really understood. I don't have a favorite, and I'm not actually really good at picking favorites. I just say that the 12 films that have been nominated that we got an opportunity to work with are all really phenomenal. And whether it was, you know, La La Land and kind of the, you know, amazing musical landscape that was set there, or something like Hacksaw Ridge, which was just kind of emotionally gut-wrenching, but had this amazing audio track with it as well. I think the stories that are being told are just fantastic. And, you know, this year I think we've got an amazing array of great movies, and I can't wait to see who wins on Sunday.
Do you think a lot of us take for granted the different aspects of movie making, the sound and imaging among them? Because without either of those things, we would not really have a good story, would we?
Yeah, you know, there's a famous quote from a director that is, sound is more than 50% of the movie. And when you think about, you know, especially things like a horror movie where you've got something coming up behind you, the only way you can accomplish that is with audio. And so I think we start to take it for granted, but in some ways that's actually a sign that we're doing the right thing. When the audio technology and the imaging technology start to disappear and you really just become fully engaged in the story that's being told, I think that's when we know that we're making the right development. And the storytelling can just, you know, become the biggest component of what you're going to. Because at the end of the day, that's why we go to the movies. That's why we sit down with our family on the sofa, is to hear and be part of those stories.
At the beginning of the show, you talked about the technology, the wonderful technology that's coming and is here. What if, for those of us who may not be audiovisual tech geeks, how do we know to buy the right equipment for our home to experience Dolby sound and imaging perfectly?
Well, that's a great question, and the great news is that both Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos, which are the two things to look for, are available in a wide array of TVs and soundbars and speakers and systems, and the best thing is to just go down and look at and listen to and experience these technologies. And, of course, when you see the very recognizable Dolby logo, you'll know that we've been involved with the people who are making that product, to really optimize it and to make it the best experience possible. So when you go in, get a chance to take a look at Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos.
I love that you folks refer to your setup there as Dolby Laboratories. And that brings me to my next question. If you had to predict what we're going to see in 5 or 10 years in imaging and sound, what would it be?
Yeah, well, and you're right. We are, at the end of the day, a laboratory. We experiment, we look, we understand kind of how we experience these, you know, imaging and audio kind of elements. So for us, I think if I were to look out 5, 10 years, my hope is that what will happen is that the technology will continue to disappear and you'll just feel like you're actually in the story, that the TV is not a TV, but it's a window into the experience, and that the audio, you don't know where it's coming from, you just know that you're in the middle of it. So I think every step that we take along that journey is the right one, because it starts to get, you know, us more and more involved in these amazing movies and stories and shows and things that are coming to life.
Bob Borchers is the chief marketing officer of Dolby Sound. He's at the Dolby Theater in California, where they're going to have the big Academy Awards event over the weekend, Sunday night on ABC. Bob, thanks for getting up and being with us on the opening bell this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
From ABC News, tech trends, self-driving trucks.
Converting them from being a dumb truck to a smart truck.
In the name of safety.
The ATMA truck stands for Autonomous Truck Mounted Attenuator.
That's a lot of big words, but Robert Royal, president of Royal Truck and Equipment, is simply describing a line of self-driving trucks. His company has teamed up with military vehicle supplier Microsystems to develop autonomous trucks for construction zones.
We have a transmission controller, and then we have a radio data link.
Business development manager Maynard Factor says these trucks are designed to follow the leader.
With software that we've developed to interface with the different sensors that have been installed on the vehicle and to interface with the human-driven leader vehicle.
Royal says states like Texas are mandating more driverless technology be used in work zones.
The result is there's less fatalities in those work zones.
The trucks are undergoing tests ahead of potential rollouts in the U.S. and U.K. With Tech Trends, I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 538. For the third consecutive year last year, Illinois lost more residents than most any other state. About 37,508 people left our state in 2016, headed for a variety of different places. Texas, one of the biggest places to get most of our people leaving. Florida, Indiana, California, Arizona, in that order, according to the U.S. Census report. Some of them are moving to Missouri, one of our neighbors to the west. Andy Devine is a reporter at KDNL-TV in St. Louis, and he is with us this morning from St. Louis. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Steve. How's it going?
It's going well. Let's talk about this. Why are people coming to Missouri?
Well, actually, so in the last decade, 7,000 people roughly per year have traveled from Illinois, moved to Missouri, and then most recently in 2015, that number actually went up to 8,500. And there's a couple of different reasons why this could be. Last year, Missouri created 57,000 new jobs, and so that's a big factor. And then we also have right to work just passed, and so that could actually that goes into effect in August. But some people are saying that with that new law, that could even attract more people to Missouri and the other seven states that Illinois has been losing out to.
Where in Missouri are people settling, or is it all over the state?
It seems to be all over the state. Illinois lost 11,000 manufacturing jobs and last year, and so they're kind of going to these more maybe rural areas sometimes, but also it just spread out throughout the state of Missouri.
Talk to us a little bit about this right to work legislation that has just taken effect there. For people who don't know what that is, explain it to us.
So it's kind of been a kind of a controversial topic everywhere that it's been proposed, but there's been some stats that say that the U.S. Bureau of Analysis says that right to work states have 4% higher GDP, and a 3.5% higher job growth. But it's basically kind of dismantling the unions, not requiring people to be a part of the unions. And so that has union leaders fired up.
As so somebody who covers Missouri, talk to us a little bit about the economic climate there. You mentioned a couple of different things and different aspects of it. But what's unemployment like? What's the climate like generally?
It's not as far as Missouri has its problems, too. I mean, the Governor Greitens, the new governor here, Republican, had slashed $200 million plans to in the budget because our budget isn't the greatest either. But unemployment is decent and it's staying pretty steady. So, I mean, it's a pretty good business climate here as far as taxes go and employment.
Yeah, that's one of the things that a lot of people say when they leave is that two things drive them out of Illinois, and that is taxes and affordable housing, job opportunities up there as well. What is your tax structure like there in Missouri?
I can't say I'm an expert on that particularly, but I know that what you were saying, a lot of people are leaving Illinois because of the high property taxes there, and that's been a big driver of people that I've spoken with that have decided to go to Missouri and decide to work and live in Missouri.
So is Missouri actually conducting any kind of program, or are there any kinds of like activities that they're actually trying to attract people from Illinois? I know from time to time we see advertising from other states here in Illinois, here in the Chicago area. Is there an active effort among Missouri to do that?
I've not personally seen that. I think that kind of Missouri just kind of speaks for itself as far as the business climate goes and employment goes. And I think people see that and they're kind of looking at other states. And you know, when you see all of these, this kind of, you know, the budget stalemate and the pension crisis in Illinois, and they look at these other states, you know, Missouri is not the only one, Indiana, Iowa, Wisconsin. So I just think that people are looking just because they want to stay in the Midwest. They like the Midwest. They like the life they have, but they just want to be in a better climate. I guess if that makes sense. They don't want to veer too far off either south or west, and they want to kind of stay in the same area, and that's what makes Missouri very appealing.
Well, maybe they want to stay, maybe they're not really sure about becoming Cardinals fans. That could be part of it.
Yeah. Actually, the anchor of the show here, he was saying that they need to have some extreme vetting for Cubs fans going in, sure, moving into Missouri. So yeah. I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, as you know, growing up, I came from a household where it was Cardinals and Cubs, and it was, you know, it got pretty serious at times. So I can't imagine Cubs fans actually becoming Cardinals fans. But let's talk about a crime, Andy, because Chicago has its problems here, but St. Louis does too. Does it not with crime and murders?
Yeah, I mean, St. Louis is always ranked one of the highest murder per capita in the United States. I mean, actual St. Louis only has a population of 300,000, and that's why that statistic is kind of a little bit misleading. But yeah, we do have definitely a crime problem in St. Louis, and that continues to show. So, I mean, people may not go to the St. Louis, the urban areas, Kansas City, but I think they could find places they'd want to live just across the border. You know, that have these manufacturing jobs that are strong and economy that's strong and taxes that are a little bit more bearable.
Yeah, and with this, with Missouri too, unlike Illinois, Missouri has a couple of big cities. We do too, but Missouri has St. Louis, obviously, and then there's Kansas, those, you know, the big areas of the state. How much do you think that plays into people's decision to come to Missouri?
As far as just having a couple different options of cities,
you could do a metropolitan area, or you can do maybe a mid-sized city, or even a small city. You've got sort of all three there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that St. Louis especially can be very appealing. I grew up in Illinois for the first 28 years of my life, and I went to school and worked in Chicago for 6 years, and I always loved Chicago, and that was very appealing for me to be in a big city. And so being in media, I had to move around a lot, and St. Louis has become a really great city. It's very manageable. I mean, you know, the crime is almost, you know, the same as Chicago. But as far as traffic goes and livability, I think that you have the big city feel, but you also have kind of the small town atmosphere as well. So I think that's appealing. And then I've been to Kansas City a few times, and that kind of has even more of a small town but big city feel. So I think that people, you know, wanting something similar to what they have in Illinois, I can find those in places like Kansas City and St. Louis as well.
You touched on it briefly earlier, but what's the political climate like? I know you have at least one Democratic senator there, and what, a new Republican governor. What does the legislature look like there?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely shifted dramatically with you know, Greitens getting into office, and then obviously the supermajority of Republicans. So right now, I mean, it's still really early with this new administration, but it seems like they're really hitting the ground running, especially, you know, right to work. They signed that into law, which, you know, goes into effect in August. We'll kind of see what kind of impact that has on the state. That's kind of a wait and see game. But yeah, you know, the Trump administration, and then kind of Missouri mirroring that with a lot of their Republicans, it's going to be definitely a different political climate here in Missouri going on out for the next 4 years.
Andy Devine, a reporter from KDNL TV in St. Louis. Andy, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 551 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. The Dow future is looking negative, off about 5 points now. NASDAQ and S&P futures lower as well. Gold is trading lower, silver lower, oil is up. Now the latest on commodities and agriculture. Here is Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we look at today's activity in the marketplace, we have to look back at yesterday when South America again had an impact, particularly on the soybean market at the Board of Trade. Soybeans closing lower for a third straight session. Wheat futures fell. On the other hand, corn firmed up just a little bit. So at the end of the trading session yesterday, we saw March wheat down 4¾ cents at 436. March corn down 6 cents at 1020, or soybeans down 6 cents at 1026 and a quarter. And March corn up a penny and a half at 369 and a quarter. Some good news in the livestock complex again yesterday. The cattle market hit a four-week high on gains in the beef market. Cattle live futures up 1% to the highest prices in about 4 weeks. Feeder cattle futures followed live cattle higher at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. The February live cattle contract settled $1.17 higher in yesterday's trade. Weaker cash hog prices weighed on the lean hog contracts. Hogs were down 57 cents in the key Iowa Southern Minnesota market. So we had cattle higher, but hogs lower in yesterday's trade. Well, tomorrow, the USDA annual National Ag Outlook Forum gets underway in Washington, D.C., and it looks like we'll not hear from the Secretary of Agriculture. Latest word is that Sonny Perdue has not yet been appointed, and so he cannot make the traditional Secretary of Agriculture address at the National Ag Outlook Forum. Remember, it's National FFA Week. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a good day as well. 5:53. Now let's check the Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Wednesday. It's February 22nd, 2017. The National Association of Realtors releases existing home sales for January. The Federal Reserve minutes come out later on this morning from the January interest rate meeting. We'll be looking over those very carefully to see exactly what the central bank's views are on interest rates and whether or not those rates might be going up at the March meeting. Fed Chief Janet Yellen has indicated it's likely to speed up the pace. The Fed is the pace of interest rate rises if the job market remains healthy and inflation stays on track. Also today, we expect Tesla to report earnings. Elon Musk's electric car company reports fourth quarter earnings. Tesla stock has risen more than 25% so far in 2017 and up more than 50% in the past 3 months. It'll be interesting to see how their earnings come out today. Oil prices are starting to rise again, so there may be stronger demand for electric cars, making Tesla's new Model 3 a front-runner for cost-conscious consumers. In addition to Tesla, Fitbit earnings come out today, and so does CPAC, the conservative congressional PAC meeting involving conservative Republicans, CPAC meeting. Some of the things that could drive the markets on this Wednesday, February 22nd. A couple of other stories we're watching for you. Lowe's, the home improvement company, has announced it is going to lay off more employees. Second round of layoffs in just over a month. 500 full-time corporate employees company-wide will lose their jobs. Local news outlets reporting yesterday that 430 workers at the headquarters in Mooresville, North Carolina, would be laid off. 70 support staff in Wilkesboro. 25 corporate staff positions in other facilities across the U.S. On January 17th, Lowe's announced 2,400 layoffs, full-time workers being laid off. A majority of those cuts were at the store level. American and United Airlines have started selling those cheaper basic economy fares as they battle for discount fares, discount space. And among some of those airlines like JetBlue, American says it has started selling the new fares for flights March 1st on 10 different routes for its hub airports in Dallas, Miami, Philadelphia, and Charlotte, North Carolina. United followed suit later in the day, posting reduced fares on some flights from Minneapolis to seven of its hub cities, including New York, here in Chicago, and Los Angeles for starting April 18th. Those basic economy fares have severe restrictions. Buyers can't pick a seat. You only get the seat. You can't carry on a bag to put in the overhead bag. It has to go under the seat. A few other exceptions as well. But generally, those flights, as we've been talking with Rick Cini over recent weeks, are very, very cheap. Sometimes even at the last minute, under $100 for those routes that they are competing in those discount areas for. Again, United and American offering basic economy starting March 1st for American and April 18th for United.